And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Oh, we're back, boys.
We're back, baby. I think we're a month into the season now.
Yes, four weeks.
Looking good.
Oh, man, what a time to be alive. Great time to be a sports fan. I know I say that every week, but this time of year is just like, it's like, man, you can't get enough. Like, hockey, basketball, college football, NFL. Yeah, something
it's for
everybody.
It's kind of like that fall season. You're kind of like, everything's kind of started now.
Yeah. It's so awesome.
Yeah, you're going to have sports for like, what, the next 6 months? Yeah. You're going to have quite a bit.
We'll never complain about that. We have a really exciting episode today, as per usual. We'll go over our last week's games. We'll come up with our player of the week. And we'll predict our upcoming games. We have three games coming up this week for the Jazz. And then we'll talk about a little bit of Jazz news. We'll grade some of our players' starts, some of our young guys. And then we'll talk about some NBA news, lots of coaches being fired and possibly hired, so we'll talk about that. And then, of course, we'll close our episode with our local sports, with our Mammoth, our BYU football, basketball, lots of exciting stuff today.
Make sure to follow us on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, anywhere you can find a podcast, and check out our last couple episodes. We've talked about every game the Jazz have played so far this year, and we've talked about just the current state of the Jazz and where we're at with everything.
And this is episode 88 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, a decent week of games
Let's go.
We're keeping up our...
Hey, we got a win.
Our one win a week. I don't think that we've gone a single week yet without a win.
Yep, that's right.
So
I think so.
Celebrate that. But 1-2, previous week, I think we also went 1-2.
Yeah.
So just kind of keeping the same kind of energy.
And honestly, in general, we were competitive in our losses this week. So, I mean,
yeah.
You're like... You know, you're a couple possessions away from winning all three of those games. So, I mean, not to play the hypotheticals, but a good week for the Jazz, I think. So.
Yeah, for what we expected from them this week, I think they exceeded expectations slightly.
Absolutely. Totally. So. We're seeing great performances here. But we can start out with our Minnesota Timberwolves game. Our former Jazz boys, all of them came into town. And the Jazz lost 120 to 113. What sticks out to you initially from this game?
Seems like this is the kind of game where you're just like, dang, we need more star power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Laurie and Keontae both had pretty good, like, statistical games for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, 27 points for Keontae and 21 for Laurie. They shot okay from the field.
Keontae's was better than usual, 50%, yeah. Although 3 for 11 from 3 is not great. But
he still shot 50%, also got 6 free throws. So, I mean, that's like pretty solid, but yeah. If you're like comparing them to Anthony Edwards, he had 35 points, 50% yeah. shooting. So it's like just having that star power is just such a huge, huge thing.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like although Keontae and Laurie did pretty well in this game, it's just... not going to cut it against Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle.
Yeah, totally. One thing I think is a positive take from this game, all of our bench guys except for Isaiah Collier were positive in the plus minus. So, you know, that tells me, and all their bench guys were negative except for, all of them were negative. So that tells me our bench was at least outplaying their bench.
Yeah.
Which I think is great news. I mean, we want to have some depth, so... Guys like Flip and Bryce and Walter Clayton are coming in and making a difference. Even Isaiah is only -3. I think that was probably... He probably played some minutes with the starters. So that probably was why. So pretty interesting.
Yeah, not bad. I've noticed this week Kevin Love's played a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but just interesting to see he's kind of doing that. And Cody Williams really hasn't been playing.
Yeah.
Neither has Taylor Hendricks.
I kind of hate these older guys taking the younger guys' minutes, but I don't know whose minutes Kevin Love would really be taking just because we need a backup center and we just don't really have one on our roster.
That's a good point, yeah.
So it's like, I don't feel like he's taking minutes away from Flip. Maybe he is. Although Flip played 26.
Wants to play the four the way he plays.
Although Flip still played 26 minutes, which is quite a bit, so... Yeah, I don't hate it. I think one thing I've loved about Kevin Love so far is like just the experience he brings. It seems like he's like a coach on the floor sometimes too, which I really like. So
yeah.
I don't hate him.
He's like one of the better, like he's probably a better veteran than like who did we have?
Yeah, you don't see Georges Niang or Kyle Anderson.
Yeah. Like he's the kind of veteran that we've been like hoping for with all of our past guys.
Yeah.
Also, I think something interesting, the Jazz did pretty well offensive rebounding. If you look at that.
Yeah, 16-7.
Yeah, 16-7. So like that's something that's pretty good, especially Yusuf Nurkic, Lauri, and Ace Bailey all had 4 offensive rebounds each.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. So we are doing, and I think that's kind of bled into some other games too, like against the Pacers. We'll get to that, but we had a lot of offensive rebounds in that game too.
Yeah.
So it seems like that's part of the reason our offense is maybe doing a little better is because of that. And it's interesting with even without Kessler, we're still getting a pretty good amount of offensive rebounds.
Totally.
But I guess that wasn't enough to counter just what Anthony Edwards is able to do.
Yeah. Speaking of performances not being able to counter, Pascal Siakam cannot be the only one on the Pacers.
Yeah.
The Pacers are currently 1-10. Jazz contributed to that. They scored 152 points against the Indiana Pacers.
I think that had to be some sort of record.
That's pretty. 44 points in the third quarter. They came out of the halftime hot. You said you went to this game, right?
Yeah, I went last minute with a buddy, and it was pretty awesome.
It was a fun game, yeah.
Just like basically the Jazz could do no wrong for at least three and a half quarters. We were kind of losing at the beginning of the game, but it didn't last very long.
Yeah.
Anyway, just awesome game. Nothing really went wrong. The Pacers just couldn't stop us from scoring like layups. It was just like easy. Yeah.
It makes you wonder with guys like Tyrese Halliburton when they're watching this, if it makes them like, obviously you're not happy your team's losing, but you're like, dang, I'm that important to my team. You know, like they're completely different because he's pretty much the only, I guess they don't have Miles Turner anymore. But other than that, Tyrese makes a huge difference on that team. It's pretty crazy.
I'm reading it. 152 points is our fourth highest in franchise history.
That's crazy.
And then third most in regulation.
Wow. We had some high ones last year. I'm sure we had a couple up there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of those higher ones that went into overtime, this one didn't even need to go into overtime. It's our third highest ever in regulation.
Mm. Wow. Lowry had a great game. 35 points. 13 for 19 is very efficient. 5 for 7 from 3. He played incredible. I thought I'm glad Ace has found his way squarely in the starting lineup. Got 20 points on 7 for 13. So he's not just hucking shots.
I heard Bowler Jack or somebody on the broadcast say Ace Bailey's had a career high like 5 games in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know if you realized that.
I did hear that, yeah.
And so like this was another one of those games that was his career high.
Yeah.
It just seemed like Ace didn't really, like he just kind of played with the flow of the team to get these 20 points. It wasn't really like he was necessarily like ISOing for his 20 points. He really just like ran the fast break. He would like hustle down the court, or he'd just like take a shot in the corner when he's open. He had 4 threes. So it's like he wasn't really even on the ball, like barely at all, and he had 20 points. So
yeah,
that's honestly great to see, especially with Will Hardy's offense and kind of everybody working together.
I heard somebody say too that it seems like the game's slowing down for Ace, which I think is true. Like,
yeah, definitely.
It doesn't feel like, sometimes with rookies, it feels like they're just rushing to take shots. They're, you know, everything just seems so hectic. With him, it just seems like the game just is coming naturally, which is really great that this is the 10th game of the season and he's already there. So it's like,
and
only up from here.
I wonder what you'd think about this. Feed Mikhailuk also had a pretty good game. He also had 20 points.
Yeah, I guess
so. I know you're not a huge Feed Mikhailuk guy.
No.
But do you think maybe having Feed Mikhailuk on the court with Ace Bailey together could maybe, because he's a good shooter, make it a little bit easier for Ace, just more spacing wise, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, I think Svi has a good game, and I wouldn't even mind him. Like if you put him on those Jazz teams 5 years ago, like he'd be a great piece on those teams.
He'd fit right in.
But it's like, I personally just don't think we're trying to compete. So I'm like, that's why I'm like, why are we putting Svi out there when we got guys who are young, you know? But honestly, yeah, you're probably
if
right.
If we are trying to compete, it probably would actually help Ace score better, yeah. and we'd probably win better.
He's not a horrible defender. He puts in a lot of effort on the defensive side of the ball, too, so I respect that a lot. About
I also
me.
Wonder, you know, Walter Clayton's a really good shooter. Mm-hmm. If he could maybe just slide in the starting lineup sometimes. And
totally.
He could totally provide spacing for Svi while being a negative defender, I guess, is the thing.
Another guy that I thought played really well, Isaiah Collier, 14 and 11 with 6 rebounds. That's kind of what we saw from him last year, just a consistent double-double guy, flirting with triple-double quite often. But
Yusuf Nurkic was flirting with a triple-double.
Yeah. Dude, we've got him. Walter Clayton, I think, could get there. Ace, I think, could get there. Isaiah Collier. All these guys are like... Somebody's going to get it eventually, I think. Yeah, so.
I think Nurkic had like 8 and 8 in the Hawks game.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, great win, though. 152. I wish we could hold them less than 128, but that's okay.
At least we know we can beat the Pacers. We're not the worst team in the league this year, probably.
That's true, yeah. They're pretty bad.
And then finally, go to play Atlanta.
This was a great game, actually, even though it was a loss. I think it was tied
going into the fourth quarter.
It was. Jazz scored 36 in the third quarter.
Another good offensive rebounding game for the Jazz.
Yeah, great game.
We had 14 offensive rebounds, 4 from Keontae, 4 from Lowry.
Yeah.
Lauri Markkanen, 40 points.
Yep.
He's kind of keeping his points per game pretty high.
Yeah,
I think he's like top 5 still right now. Mm-hmm. He's number 5. Do you think if like he's a top 5 points per game guy and we're like the 13th seed, do you think he could still make an all-star? Or it'd be hard to say like if we're like that low in the standings, but he's that good.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the all-star selection goes this year because they're talking, you know, we're doing world versus USA. So are they going to have to pick some world guys who wouldn't normally make it, like maybe Lowry or...
But it's still, I think it's still East and West like normal. But then if they don't have enough world, he gets to go play. Or like, I don't know. Really? It's kind of like weird. They just fill in the rosters after a certain point.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I can see it though. I mean, he's playing at that level, especially if he's going to grab 7 rebounds.
Especially if we're like the 11 or 12th seed. Like, that's not terrible.
Yeah.
And he's a top 5 scorer. I could see him maybe making the playoffs.
Totally. I thought another great game from Ace again set a career high, fifth game in a row.
Yeah, 20, well, by one.
8 for 13.
21 points.
4 for 7. 1 for 3 from free throws. He needs to get better at free throws, but I think a great game from him.
Yeah, pretty solid. And then, like we said earlier, Yusuf Nurkic almost triple-double. He had 10 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. 5 steals, by the way. 6 turnovers, but...
Yeah.
That's the thing with Nurkic.
Flirting with a quadruple double, maybe.
Yeah, if you count turnovers, low-key. He's good at stealing and passing, but like with the risk of like 6 turnovers every once in a while, you know. So I don't know. If I were the coach, I would kind of want Yusuf Nurkic to handle the ball less and try and take care of it a little bit better. But just the nature of how he's been playing, he gets a bunch of turnovers and gets some assists.
Yeah. That Jalen Johnson, if I'm the...
Oh my goodness. I think he had a career high in like 4 categories.
Dude, honestly, if I'm the Hawks GM, I'm starting to question, because he's been playing really hot lately. And if I'm the Hawks GM, I'm starting to question, like, is it time to move on from Trae Young and, you know, like, get Jalen Johnson going?
Yeah, this team looks pretty good without Trae Young.
Yeah, I'm like...
Well, I mean, let's see them against a top East team first, but...
Yeah, and I think I'm actually not a Trae Young hater like a lot of people are, but... I don't know. It makes me wonder. They've got some talent. I like Reese Hoshea. I thought he looked a lot better at the end of last year. Akongwu's really good piece. Dyson Daniels is really good. So, you know.
I think one thing I've noticed with the Hawks is they have a lot of good defenders.
Yeah.
And
they didn't play like it this
showed.
Game. But,
They had like 24 turnovers. Jazz
That's
had 24
true.
Turnovers.
A lot of turnovers.
Because Jalen Johnson, he's got long arms.
Alexander
Walker, he gets steals. He has long
arms.
Dyson Daniels was like a most improved player because of how good of a defender he was.
Technically, they got Porzingis still too.
Yeah, Risha Shea's got pretty long arms.
Risha Shea's pretty there, yeah.
So like, you know, when you're playing the Hawks with this kind of team, you're just going to turn the ball over just because of their like defensive upside from their whole team, basically.
Yeah,
totally. Jalen Johnson had 7 steals.
Sheesh.
My goodness.
Yeah, he's a baller. At this rate, he might be an all-star this year.
Yeah, I was thinking about him as a most improved player last year.
Yeah.
Until injury. So yeah. Maybe he could win it this year, I guess, if he didn't really do much last year.
And I think, honestly, say what you want. There's a lot of criticism you could throw at Quinn Snyder. But Quinn Snyder's good at developing talent. If you think about all the guys in Utah that like he turned not just Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, but like
Royce O'Neal
turned into big. Niang. Boyan Bogdanovic, I thought, had his best seasons here in Utah.
Yeah, definitely.
He gets the most. You could argue
Jordan. Was he there with Jordan Clarkson?
Oh, yeah. Jordan Clarkson had his best seasons.
He had a revival with the Jazz.
Yeah. Mike Conley finally made an all-star.
Yeah.
He'd never been an all-star before. So Quinn Snyder knows how to use his talent. That's one thing you could say about him. We love Coach Quinn over here. So
your boy Cody Williams got into the game.
Yeah, I guess so. Barely.
He didn't really do much.
No. Yeah. He's fully digging his grave, I think. Well, maybe it's not his fault. I don't know. Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe he needs some of those 5 minutes, but we'll see. That's just my opinion. But
we'll see if we give him a shot. Right now, he's not really playing still, but at least he got 12 minutes. Didn't really have much in those, but.
Well, that takes us to a player of the week, Cody Williams. Just kidding, it's not Cody Williams.
Oh, what a segue.
That does take us to our player of the week, though, and I think this one was pretty easy for me. I think Ace Bailey deserves player of the week.
You could give it to Laurie, but I think Ace Bailey deserves it for exceeding expectations.
Totally. I mean, he's found himself in the starting lineup. I think he's there now. Also, just setting career highs. Obviously, he won't keep setting career highs in consecutive games, but I wouldn't be surprised if eventually we see a 30-40 point game from Ace this year. He's shooting efficiently. It's not just shot chucking.
I mean, he could get 30 next week.
Totally. I totally agree. Well, next week might be some tough games, but I think he could do it.
Two weeks.
But yeah, I think Ace has been playing great. I have no complaints about how he's been. Should have been earlier, but that's okay.
I couldn't agree more. I think highlight that could encapsulate Ace Bailey's week.
Yes.
You already know what I'm going to talk about, huh?
Yeah.
His reverse dunk against the Timberwolves.
I can't even believe I forgot to mention that during the... Yeah. Dude, that was an incredible dunk.
I think that made it on like the top 10 NBA.
So far, I think that might be our best highlight of the season. I mean, we're only 10 games or 11 games in.
Over the putback game winner against the Celtics?
I think so, yeah. Really? But that's just me. But I think... Yeah, that was pretty crazy dunk. I thought that was pretty cool.
I love it. Shout out to Ace Bailey. Hopefully one of many player of the weeks that he'll earn throughout the year.
Yes, sir.
But we got a little bit of Jazz news, not too much.
Yeah.
Most of it kind of with the game.
We want to predict our upcoming games too.
Oh, yes, you're right. Well, let's predict our upcoming games. We've got three.
Yes, sir. Tough games this week.
Tough games. This could be our first week without a win.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Could be. Or maybe we start our win streak. You predicted a win streak being the year, hot take.
Yeah, my hot take was a 7-game win streak.
Maybe we start it now. Yeah. we start, though, against the Bulls on, what day is that? Sunday. Bulls were starting the season pretty hot. I think they've cooled off a little bit. Josh Giddey has been playing like an all-star so far. What are you feeling about like this game?
So if the Bulls started off 5-game win streak.
Yeah.
Then the last 4 games have been all losses.
Okay.
Granted, they played the Bucks, Cavs, Spurs, and Pistons.
Okay, those are good teams.
So they lost to all good teams.
Yeah.
And they beat the Pistons, Magic, Hawks, Kings, and Knicks. So like decent.
Okay, decent teams.
They're also on the road. The Jazz are at home, so I think that gives me a little bit of advantage to the Jazz because I think we're better at home.
Yeah, totally.
So I think we're going to take advantage of their cold streak right now, and I think the Jazz could beat the Bulls in a close game. Jazz win by 5.
Oh, okay. I agree with you. I think the Jazz could beat the Bulls. I don't think that they will this week. I think it's going to be a loss by 8 is my prediction. But I think this game could be close. I feel like this could be kind of like the Hawks game where it's like maybe tied at halftime, they pull away late kind of thing. I just like the Bulls' like offense a lot. I think they're moving the ball really well.
They look much improved.
Totally.
Matas Buzelis also looks very good.
Totally. So could be a good game.
We could have drafted Matas Buzelis. I'm just saying.
We definitely could have.
But
so disappointing.
Should be a good game. Probably our closest game.
Yeah.
Best chance of winning.
Totally.
Then we go out to LA Crypto Arena against the Lakers.
I'm going to this game this week. I'm super excited. First time seeing crypto.com arena, so.
I think we still call it Staples, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels weird.
They should just call it crypto. Crypto.com feels kind of repetitive, but I get why they do it.
I just call it crypto.
It's weird. I think.
Do you think you could bring the Jazz some
You know,
good
I think
luck?
So. I think
Maybe
so.
Go for a win?
I'm going to say the Jazz win. If I'm going to go to the game,
really?
I predict a win, especially if I'm going to travel all that way. I'm going to say Jazz win by 6. I think it's going to be a really good game, so. I don't think we'll see LeBron yet. I was really hoping I would get to see him there, but I think he's not quite there.
He might
there
be
yet.
On the sideline anyway, I guess.
Speaking of, did you see that LeBron got assigned to the South Bay Lakers?
Yeah, I was wondering if that was actually legit.
It was legit.
Is he playing?
He's been, I don't know if he's going to, I saw a report that he probably wouldn't play a game with them, but he was running drills with them, which I thought was kind of weird, but it's kind of crazy that Bronny
That's
James
cool.
is in the NBA and his dad's in the G League. Like, what are we talking about?
Oh, if LeBron's in the G League, he could probably win a championship
again.
I know.
Dude, maybe he does his farewell tour in the G League. That would be sick.
Yeah, I mean, that would grow the game.
Can you imagine? Yeah, dude, that'd be awesome. I'd pay for, dude, imagine the Maverick Center full because LeBron's there.
Yeah. That'd be Those so tickets crazy. Are more expensive than Jazz.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
I'm going to go with a loss.
Okay.
Keeping the Fair theme. Enough. And I'm going to say the Lakers win by 14.
Okay.
So a pretty convincing win. And mostly just because I think the Lakers are a top 4 seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And they've been playing pretty solid to start the season. I've been surprised about Austin Reeves and how good he's
totally.
Been.
Totally. Yeah, he's been really good.
Then we play the defending champs.
Oh, man.
Who couldn't. They honestly look as good as they could possibly look right now. They did lose at least one game, right?
Yeah, that right now they are 12-1. They've won their last 4, though. So I think the scariest thing about the Thunder is that they haven't had Jalen Williams at all to this point.
That's crazy.
They're this good without their second best player, which is just insane. They're so good. Just, I guess the NBA just needs to hold on until they don't have cap room to sign all these guys again. But, I think Jazz going to lose big in this one, even though we're going to this game. I think we're going to lose by 10. I'm being conservative with the 10, but it might be a lot more than 10. I think so.
I'm not being conservative.
Okay.
I'm going to say we lose by 20.
Okay. Fair enough.
Also what'll be nice. It is an in-season tournament game, so we'll be able to see the new Jazz court.
Yeah, that'll be sick.
So if Excited. We lose in style.
That's right.
How about that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it'll be exciting.
Well, now we got some Jazz news to
yes,
talk
sir.
About. We've got just a couple items. We got the Salt Lake Stars roster.
Sir. Yeah, the Salt Lake Stars released their opening day roster. It was... So, kind of interesting names on here. A lot of the guys that we have had around the Jazz a little bit. Cam McGriff, I believe, was one guy that we signed and then waived. Max Abemus has been around for a bit. He played on our summer league last year, I believe. Justin Harmon, Mo Bamba stays in the
Oh, yeah. He's
Salt
not
Lake
going
Valley.
Anywhere.
That's right. Maybe that's the reason the Jazz signed him, so he could stay around. Matt Morrell, also a guy we signed and then waived. Elijah Harkless, John Tonjer's there. Hank Morgan, I don't know who. Steven Crowell, I think we also signed.
Yep, training camp roster.
The Oscar Tshiebwe, of course. He's going to have MVP season.
Probably our best player on the Stars, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Either him or Harkless or Tanjay.
He even had, like, I think one of their first games. Let me find the graphic. Yeah, Oscar Tshiebwe in one of their first games had 27 and 17. 17
oh,
rebounds,
yeah,
that is.
That's just a normal stat line
yeah,
for him.
That's just I mean, maybe at some point the Jazz just let Oscar Tshiebwe play center for us and see
yeah,
how
like
it goes.
Yeah, like if Kevin Love's like tired, you know.
Yeah, why not? Let's
he can't really play. Like, I think Oscar Tshiebwe is a great backup center.
Dude, totally. I just don't... The funny thing is, I just don't think if the Warriors could be successful having Draymond play the 5, which he does quite often... Why couldn't we have Oscar Tshiebwe Maybe he's not as good of a defender.
Can Oscar Sheboy, perimeter defense?
Maybe not.
That's kind of my biggest concern.
But you don't
always
need your five to guard the, you know, I don't know.
Can he guard a seven-footer?
That's true.
Like, that's true. Because Draymond's kind of unique where he can guard the perimeter and seven-footers, which is pretty cool.
I don't know. Oscar Sheboy's pretty strong. He could box. Yeah, I don't know.
It'd I think he'd have a better shot against a seven-footer, though.
I think so, yeah. Kind of interesting. Lots of familiar names for us. That's not always the case with the G League team, but I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, I'll add in some other stats around the Jazz. We're about a month into the season. Laurie's still averaging 29, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Keontae's still keeping his 21 a game average. We'll see if he keeps that up. Right now, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, it's looking nice.
And then I don't know if you realize Yusuf Nurkic, he's averaging 9 rebounds a game, which is like top 15 in the league.
That's killer.
Just pretty solid. So even though Kessler's out, Nurkic is probably a decent starting option that we'll have. And then Ace Bailey, his points per game is going up a little bit each game. Right now it's up to 8.7 a game.
Yeah.
With 4 rebounds, 2 assists. So that'll keep going up. Kyle Filipowski's also around that 8 point a game average.
Yeah.
But we're going to go ahead. A month into season is probably about the right amount of time to start evaluating talent.
Totally.
Seeing where we're at with the guys that we have. And so I want to kind of break down for just 5 players on our team, just grading their starts.
Yep.
A to F. And you can be blunt if you want. It's okay to give an F if you feel like that's what they've been playing. So let's start with our top pick, our boy Ace Bailey.
Yep.
What would you grade his start so far?
Okay, I try to be objective here. If you've listened, you know I'm a big Ace Bailey fan. I think he's going to be great. But I think I'm going to give him a B+. He didn't start as hot as I was hoping. Preseason, he just looked really nice, and I was like, this guy's going to come in.
Yeah, and then he got the flu, and we're like, what's going on?
And then it's kind of been slow to give him minutes, which I think's been disappointing. Not necessarily his fault, but I think B+ is good. I think he's played great. He's done what we would hope he would do. But he hasn't been like knock your socks off, you know, just a good good start, I think. So what do you think?
I'm right around there. I'm a B.
Okay.
I think some of that is the coaching staff.
Totally.
If he had just been a starter from the beginning of the year, he could be at like, for me, like a B+, A- by now.
Yeah, that's fair.
But just with the opportunity he's had, he hasn't been able to show as much. And then he did have a slow start. So
yeah.
I want to see him sustain what he's been doing recently and see where he's at in the next month.
Totally. Brings us to one of our other top picks recent years, Cody Williams. What do you feel? Is there a grade low enough for him? Or I'm just kidding.
I'm gonna go D-.
Okay.
So I'm not giving an F.
That's fair.
Just because I feel like his summer league was good.
Yeah.
But then once the actual NBA season has come around, I don't feel like his summer league has translated.
No.
And so I'm thinking, well, this might just be Cody Williams.
Might be it. Yeah.
Give him another month. I know he's not really playing a lot of minutes, but right now D-.
I kind of use the same logic. I put a C. I still think
you're a little higher on him than I am.
Yeah, a little bit. I still don't think great start. I think same thing. I think summer league, even preseason, there was some times where I'm like, okay, Cody Williams might be like a different player this year, like put in some work in the off season. But not only has he not played a lot, but he also just in the minutes he has had, like the other night, he just hasn't really done much with him. I really wish he would just hit the floor harder when he's out there, prove that he deserves to play more.
Mm-hmm.
So because he's improved a lot, I still think it's a C, but still just not barely passing kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, his stats on the year, he's played in 7 of the game of the 20. Yeah. Was it 12 games? 7 of the 12 games, maybe?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And he's averaging 3 points a game and 1 rebound.
Okay.
And he's shooting 30% from the field, 25% from 3, and 69% from free throw. Pretty rough. I feel like if you're shooting 25% from three, that's a big red flag.
Yeah.
Which is an improvement on last year when he shot 22% from three.
Especially as a wing, you have to be able to...
Yeah, actually, you have to be able to be at least around 35.
Totally.
He's probably one of the worst.
And he's not like a freak athlete that's dunking on people. It'd be different if he was just not that type of player, but he is that type of player. He should be. So it's like, yeah, it's pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
A guy who's not been disappointing, in my opinion, Keontae George. Where do you grade his start? I'd be interested to know how we're different here.
I'm going to give Keontae an A minus.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about giving him an A plus, actually, because I've been very happy with how Keontae's been playing. But I think the reason why I bumped him from an A plus down to like an A minus is because he's still got a little bit of room to improve with taking care of the ball and with taking smart shots.
Totally.
He's gotten to the point where he's maybe bumped up his percentages a little bit from last year. At least it feels like. But I just want to see him just cut down on bad shots and ball and a little bit more ball security. Other than that, I've been really happy with how he's just more confident on the court. He feels like he actually is a point guard now, whereas last year he was like just thrown into point guard and not really doing it very well. He is a point guard now in my eyes. Totally. And he looks like he's a leader on the team, and he's a lot more confident and scoring a lot better.
Totally. I agree. I actually have him at an A- as well. I think pretty much all the same reasons you said. He needs to stop or cut down the turnovers. Shooting percentage needs to come up, especially from three. But I've loved how efficient he's been attacking the rim. He's hitting his free throws. Not only do I think he's established himself as a point guard, but he's established himself as the starting point guard on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a big question even like 3 weeks ago. We're like, is it Keontae, Isaiah, Walter? Like, we didn't know. But I think it's his job. And I think he's an NBA starting quality point guard. So I'm giving him an A-. I think he's got some room, but pretty good start.
Yeah, something interesting. He's shooting 27% from three so far.
Mm.
Not great, but yeah, he's shooting better from the field than last year.
Yeah.
41 opposed to 39 last year.
That's better, yeah.
Three turnovers a game, which is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And he's actually doubled his free throws made a game from three to six.
Let's go.
So the biggest improvement is getting to the line. I think that's totally part of the reason why his scoring went up.
And those shots don't show up on your field goal percentage either, because if you get fouled at the rim, you don't score. It doesn't show up on your...
Yeah, he's been getting a lot of those.
So you're like, it could still be a good shot, not affect your field goal percentage, but you're like getting 2 points, right? Like, so
yep.
I think that makes a big difference.
He's definitely doing... That's probably the number one thing he's improved.
Totally.
Okay, and next player, given a grade, we got two more. Isaiah Collier.
Yeah.
And given that he's only played a couple games.
Yeah. I'm going to give him a B to start. I think last couple of games I've been really impressed to see him kind of get back to what we were seeing last year. Just really good distributor, solid point guard, still not a great scorer. I think I'm giving him a B just because he hasn't really played a lot, to be fair. Not as at this point in the season, I would like to like had a clearer vision of who Isaiah Collier was this year, but I don't feel like we quite have that, so...
Yeah, he's only played in four games, which is why I just gave him like incomplete.
Okay,
I don't know if that cheating. So no, I have to give him something, it'd probably be like a C, just like average.
You sound like an accounting major over there. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. He's right down the middle. Like, he hasn't wowed me. He hasn't not wowed me, and I don't know I don't really know what to say yet.
That's fair.
So I'm saying incomplete, or if I have to like a average, like a C, like he's just been okay.
Yeah, that's fair. That brings us to another guy, Taylor Hendricks, back from injury this year. We weren't really sure what we would see from him. How do you feel? How do you feel like he started?
I'm wondering if he is injured currently because he hasn't played the last couple games this week.
Yeah.
But previous to that, he's played in 9 games.
Yeah.
Already more than last year. Mm-hmm. But he's been actually... I feel like he's been playing pretty well, but most of what he does not show up on the box score.
Totally.
So like if you look at his stats, he's only averaging 4 points a game and 4 rebounds, and that's like basically it.
Yeah.
And so like his stats aren't really jumping off the page, but he's shooting a little bit better. 23% from three. So it's, I don't know, it's hard to see any improvement so far from last year. And last year was only, the improvement that I see from Taylor Hendricks is that he's played 9 games. That's honestly what I've just been happy to see. So I'm giving him a C+.
Oh, okay.
Just like, he hasn't wowed me, but he's played. And that's, and I think the fact that he's played is enough to give him a C+.
Totally. I think we're on the same page. I put him at B-. I think he's played, I don't think he's played great. Nothing's really like jumped off the page to me that he's done. But I think that he's played good. He looks like he belongs this year. Deserves to be getting even more minutes than he already has been, like every other young guy we have. But so yeah, I think B-, kind of middle grade, similar to what you had, like just, you know, want to see more, but not bad. It's not Cody Williams, it's
Yeah. I think he could totally take 20 minutes off the bench for like a month, and then we can really see what we've got.
Totally. Well, that brings us to some NBA news. Some stir up pretty early on in the season to have coaches fired, but here we are.
I guess that's enough sample size to really, really just quit on a guy.
Yeah. Well, this one probably brewing for about, what was it, 9 months ago? Nico Harrison finally fired by the Mavs.
I was happy to hear this.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a bunch of reports coming out. Apparently, he was the one that was pushing the Luka trade. And like he was like freezing guys like Mark Cuban out, who were like obviously big parts of that franchise, even though he doesn't own the team anymore.
I heard allegedly, this was like from Shams, that the owner told a fan like, sorry, that was a mistake.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw the picture too. Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of thought he'd make it to the end of the season just because he kind of got lucky with the Cooper Flag thing.
But yeah, we thought they were going to be like a playoff team with Cooper Flag.
Yeah, but it's not looking like that. Now, I guess Mark Cuban's back at the table and they're saying a huge roster overhaul might be in place, which to me means Anthony Davis, Kyrie.
Build around Cooper Flag now.
That's what I would do, yeah. What do you think? What's a good landing spot for those two guys if they get traded?
Ooh, that's a good question. Obviously a playoff team, right?
Yeah.
Could you just send AD back to the Lakers?
That's what I keep saying.
I know that sounds terrible.
Send them DeAndre Ayton, but low key, take AD back.
I don't think the Mavericks will do that because that'll definitely get slander.
Oh, yeah.
But like if 100%. AD was back on the Lakers, that would be great.
100%. I keep seeing an interesting proposition. People talking about Chicago for AD because he's from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't love the fit, but I think it could work. I mean, they don't really need a guy to play a lot. Anthony,
I think it would make them a fun team.
For sure.
But I don't know if I'd make them a contender.
No. Yeah, I agree. I saw the Knicks maybe playing next to Cat.
What would you think about trading Miles Turner for Anthony Davis? Get a Giannis Anthony Davis front court?
Maybe.
If AD was healthy, that could be a championship team, but I just don't know if AD will be healthy.
Yeah, that'd be tough. I don't know what the market's like for Anthony Davis or Kyrie, because I'm like,
it's probably not that high.
Kyrie especially is probably not going to play until February, March, maybe.
Getting old too, so yeah. I don't think they're going to be as expensive as you think.
I could see the Lakers getting Kyrie though. I know LeBron loves, but the thing.
But did the Mavericks want to keep losing trades to the Lakers?
That's true. And I guess the other thing is LeBron actually in LA? Because it seems like there's some tension there growing between LeBron and it seems like they're moving on from the LeBron era, which rightfully so. But you know, maybe they're not gonna send any more assets to go get LeBron's guys anymore. So who knows?
I don't know. I think they should trade him and reset the roster.
Totally.
Just because, you know, this is most likely this is going to be a scrap year regardless. And you may as well start building now instead of putting it off.
Yeah.
Like kind of like what the Jazz did, where they'd be good part of the year and bad part of the year. If you know the season's not going to work out, just start right now, and hopefully that'll make your rebuild a little bit shorter.
Yeah, I saw an article yesterday saying that there's a lot of GMs that think if Cooper Flagg was in this year's draft, which is originally the draft he's supposed to be in, that he likely would have fallen to like 6 or 7. Like, that's how deep this...
No way.
Well, that's how deep this class
is.
That's
crazy.
I probably would take AJ over Cooper or Darren Peterson.
Yeah.
Maybe Cam. I don't know. That
and we were all thinking Cooper Flagg's like generational, and now we're like, well, I guess every draft has a generational guy.
I think he still could be that, but it's like... Yeah, and then you got guys like Caleb Wilson, Coe AP. Like, this draft class is looking like it's tempting for teams not to just, like, throw in the towel this early, I think. So.
Can we get the Nets pick again?
I know.
I would love
that. It's going to be tough for us to get up. There's a lot of bad teams this year, the Pacers. And
yeah, we're probably not going to be top three worst as easily.
Yeah, I don't think. So we probably already won too many games.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Only another four, coach got fired. Pelicans, yeah. Willie Green.
Willie Green got fired.
And that makes sense to me because I don't know how you felt about the Pelicans going into the season, but I thought they were going to be good, and I thought Zion could be like a most improved player.
Yeah, I liked the rookies they drafted. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, and then they like just could not win any games. And so I guess that's enough games for them to move on from Willie Green.
Yeah, totally.
Do you think Willie Green was the problem?
Probably not.
Yeah, I feel probably like
I feel like when you fire a coach mid-season, the coach is hardly ever the problem. It probably is more of just like we need a reset. We need something. We're like in a funk
culture
right
reset.
Now. Yeah, totally. It's just like every coach LeBron's ever had. Was Darvin Ham ever really the problem? Probably not. or whatever. Or Frank Vogel, right? Like, it's like these coaches just, they just have bad rosters, honestly. It's probably what it is, so. Yeah, what, looking at coaches, other coaches around the league, do you think that there's any other coaches who are on the hot seat or whose seats are getting hot or warmer, at least, I mean?
That's a good point. I'm looking around at different guys. I wonder, this is interesting to me because I feel like it's debatable, but Chris Finch...
I was just thinking that.
Oh, really? I think even if the Timberwolves are pretty good this year, if they don't like move the needle, I could see them just wanting a reset and moving on from him.
Yeah. Is Doc Rivers still the coach of the Bucks, right? Can't imagine his seat's not a little warm, at least.
Yeah, especially if they tank a little bit in the standings and are like an eighth seed, I could see him.
Yeah, totally. I can't think of any other.
I could also see Charles Lee, the Hornets. They just hired him, but like if the Hornets are not good, I hope they don't personally, but
yeah.
I don't know, it's his first year.
I don't know, Tyronn Lue could be there. They're 4-8 to start.
True. But I feel like that you know that's just because Tyronn Lue's been a good coach before. I don't think you can blame that on Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good roster, though. I don't know.
Has Chauncey Billups technically been fired?
I guess not. He's not getting
paid.
He's
definitely on the hot seat if he hasn't been.
Yeah, he's probably... Yeah, his seat's boiling, I'd say.
I don't know if he's technically been fired, though.
I don't think so. I know he's not getting paid. I heard there's like a thing where they don't get paid there. Jason Kidd's an interesting one. I don't think it's his fault either, but I also wonder.
They just blamed it on Nico instead of him.
Yeah, but I wonder if he'll make it through this rebuild they do this year, if he'll be done or.
I mean, he also did well developing Giannis back in the day, so maybe they want him developing Cooper Flagg.
He did some interesting things with Giannis, though, I think. Yeah.
The Phoenix coach, Jordan Ott. I don't even know him, to be honest.
Whoever the Wizards coach is. They need to.
That's not their fault.
Well, they just need to fire their whole front office.
Yeah,
I don't know what this roster is.
They need to fire the GM. Yeah, the front office.
What a horrible roster! Like, jeez, they're so bad.
It's getting. I think they've got a direction because Keyshawn George actually looks pretty good.
Bub Carrington's not bad.
And Trey Johnson, we all liked.
Alex Sarr has put a lot better.
I think they've got pieces now. I think it's more the coaching now, actually.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And they need to get a star. But anyways, definitely the right answer is Chauncey Billups and maybe Chris Finch, maybe the Wizards or Suns coach.
Yeah, I agree. Is there anybody else, any other things you've been watching around the league sticking out to you this week?
Honestly, not really. I've mostly been locked into the Jazz. just seeing how they're doing. Seems like some of the standings are finally starting to balance out the way that we thought it would be. Like the Bulls went down a little bit and Timberwolves have kind of gone back up.
I've honestly been watching, I mean, I really haven't been watching any of their games, but the Nuggets, I think.
Yeah, they're second in the West right now.
I saw there was a clip where Tyronn Lue said that their game plan against them scored 55 this 12 rebounds and like thing. And Tyronn Lue said that their strategy was that they're going to make scoring. Like, that was their, like, maybe if we just stop him from making plays, he won't score as well. But and then he just drops 55.
Let's
and
go.
I just think, man, he's so incredible. He might, at this pace, if he keeps playing like this for, it's already been, what, six seasons that he's been doing this, we might be talking about the best center of all time. Like, it's going to get harder and harder.
He's got to pass Shaq. That's kind of what I'm feeling right now is my top guy.
But I don't know. I mean, if he does this for four or five more seasons, we're like, it's going to be hard to make an argument for him.
That's fair. And he needs to win. I think he'd need to win another championship for me to.
So
I don't know, because Shaq won like four. Maybe one. Did he win on the Celtics?
But Jokic is on his, well, he's got four MVPs now.
That's true. And I mean, Kareem had a lot of MVPs too. True. And Shaq had some MVPs, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's right there. I think if he wins another MVP, that would be a big step in the right direction. Yeah.
Anyways, that's something I've wanted. Mammoth. Went to the Mammoth game last night.
Is it your first game this year that you've been to?
It is, yeah. I saw the new like tunnel thing they have, which I think is super sick. It like lights up and they have all these lasers, which is
Cool. Wow.
Saw Tusky, which is pretty cool.
Let's go.
To meet the man himself.
Did you take a picture with Tusky or no?
No, I didn't see him up close, but they had like Tusky jerseys. They had said Tusky on the back. I think I might get me one of those eventually. And the jerseys are
I know. They're huge too. They're like a sweater.
Yeah. Mammoth lost though. It was 2-1 most of the game, and then the Islanders scored one that got reviewed and overturned. They turned it into a goal, which I thought was dumb.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, like the puck went off of his skate into the goal, which technically is not allowed. Kind of kicked it a little.
But we do get a point for an overtime loss.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then we lost the faceoff in the overtime, and it was just tough to get the puck back. So, But it was a fun game. I love the atmosphere of hockey games. So,
what do you think of JJ Paterka? Did you see him play that much?
He played a lot. Yeah, I was watching him in warmups too, and that guy, he's got some serious skill. Like, it almost was like watching.
He had a goal.
Yeah,
looks like.
It was almost like watching like Kyrie warm up. If you've ever seen like the crazy clips of him dribbling, like. JJ Paterka does all these crazy warm-ups that, like, that guy just has a lot of really good handle on the puck, so.
And he's young.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, I'm going to the Mammoth game next Saturday against the New York Rangers, so maybe if we lose to one New York team, we can beat the other one. But I'm excited for that. It seems like Mammoth, our playoff team, hopefully we keep that.
BYU football.
Yes. I mean, last week we were both thinking we'd beat Texas Tech, but it would be close. Really wasn't close.
Yeah, I think people are overreacting. I don't think BYU got destroyed like people. I thought defensively we still played.
Yeah, we just made a couple mistakes, like a muff punt, interception,
a couple of shanked punts,
and a missed field goal, like just a couple of plays. And Texas Tech were flawless. They didn't do any turnovers, really.
I don't even feel like this was BYU beating themselves. It was just Texas Tech
just being a great team. Just good. They didn't really have many errors this game. And their offense wasn't even that good.
No.
Like our defense was pretty good with the field that they were given. And it just ended up being like really special teams that
it was incredible.
Didn't play well.
Yeah. I honestly just think I'm really hoping. I think BYU will get back there to play Texas Tech in the Big 12 Championship. That's my hot take right now. And I think at a neutral site that the story might be a little different. Like, does Parker Kingston muff that punt if he's not it doesn't have, what, 30,000 people yelling at him. Like, I'm not making that an excuse. I'm just saying, if you got half BYU fans there, because BYU fans travel well.
So. Here's probably the big point for me,
mm-hmm.
is Texas Tech can stop our run.
Yeah.
To the point where Bear Bachmeyer didn't really have any yards running.
That's fair.
And LJ, same thing. Do you think BYU is going to be able to pass against Texas Tech?
I think so. Because
that's the only way I feel like we can win, is if we can pass.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think so. I mean, to be fair, LJ's been injured. He's still pretty injured. He didn't seem like he was at 100% to me. I also just don't think the play calling was great. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had some good games this year play calling, but it almost seemed like we reverted back to being scared of Bear throwing the ball, and we need to not do that.
And they were prepared for that.
Totally.
So
the one drive that we scored at the end of the game, Bear was throwing it down the field, and we're like, why were we not doing this?
Yeah, I think we need to try. We can run still.
Yeah,
because we need to keep them honest. But I think we need to have a balanced attack so they don't know which one's coming.
Totally.
It seemed like we relied too much on the run. But Utah's been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
So we gotta keep our wins going until the end of the year so we can see Texas Tech.
If BYU
again.
Wins out, we'll get to the championship. With one loss, there's still a path. With one more loss, there's still a path. But it gets a little murky. So it's like, depending on who the loss is.
Let's take care of business.
So.
What do you think the score will be tonight with TCU?
I think BYU treats last week as a wake-up call, and we come out and beat the bricks off of TCU. I really do. I think BYU comes out and wins by 3 touchdowns at least.
I love that. I hope that's the case. I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that, maybe a 10-point win.
That's fair.
But I think it's in our favor in the fact that it's a home night game. Coming off a loss.
Yeah.
So I think you've got a very motivated BYU team.
Totally. BYU basketball also has a really big game today. Top 10 matchup against UConn tonight.
Yeah. Or yeah. In the Garden.
Boston Garden. TD Garden or whatever it's called.
Or isn't it Madison Square Garden?
I think it's TD Garden.
It's TD
Boston,
Garden.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a pretty big place to play. That's... Has BYU ever played? I'm sure we have at some point. But
yeah, 3-7 though on the national stage. BYU's been playing really. I don't know if you saw what game did we play the other
Delaware.
Day? Delaware. That was kind of a little scary at first. We kind of started a little slow.
Yeah,
but
second half we pulled away.
I thought Rob Wright almost had a triple double. He's like 26, mm-hmm. 9-9, I think.
Do you think the BYU team is too top heavy?
I don't think so. I just don't think we've found the right rotation yet, is my opinion. I feel like we have enough guys mm-hmm. to be good. I just don't think.
Because I haven't really familiarized myself with some of our new guys.
Yeah.
But I feel great about, well, of course, our AJ Ritchie and Rob Wright, you know, they're great. Kaba, of course.
Kaba's played great.
And I feel good about Dawson Baker as a piece.
Totally.
But aside from them, I'm not really familiar with the other pieces we have and really our bench.
Boskovich, we haven't seen. I mean, he's played a lot.
He's okay, but he's not really anything amazing.
No, yeah. Kennard Davis has played really good to this point. We may not see him again this year, but it's not really a joking matter. But I mean, like.
Yeah, he might have been. He was arrested for DUI.
For a DUI, got in a crash. Yeah. We don't really know details on that yet. He probably won't play tonight against UConn. Well, he definitely won't play tonight. Apparently, he has injuries, too, with the crash. The report I read didn't say that there was alcohol involved, which I think is...
It's good for BYU as well with eligibility.
Better with the honor code stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Because people can get DUIs for a lot of stuff. If you're taking medications that you're not managing well or...
Yeah. Or just driving a little reckless.
Yeah, drowsy driving could get you that, too. So you're like... I don't know. BYU is definitely going to have to. BYU does their thing.
Have you seen much from Xavion Staton?
I like Xavion Staton. Because
he could be our backup center.
I think against Holy Cross, which I know it's Holy Cross, but he led the team in blocks. He had like 3.
So, I mean, like him a lot. He could take some of those minutes.
But. I think so too. I really like Xavion Staton a lot. I think Dominique Diamande is really good.
Right, I've heard of him.
M. Boop's played a lot this year so far in the non-Kaba minutes. So
Have you seen Kozlowski at all?
Oh, I didn't think about it. No, I don't think I have.
So I feel like he could be a bench piece.
Yeah. He knows our system well, too. He's played second year guy.
So I guess we'll have to kind of, we know those top three guys are great. I think we feel good about Kaba and Dawson.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of time to see like which of those other pieces kind of solidify.
Interestingly enough, something we forgot to note to talk about. I don't know if you saw, but BYU just landed the center from a G League team. Just committed to BYU next year.
Interesting.
So now BYU next year has the number one JUCO recruit, EJ Perry. And we have a guy who's literally played in the G
professional.
He played for the Knicks G League team, I think. He's like 7-1 or something. He just committed to BYU. And then I think we have two other 4-stars coming in next year. So it's like, oh man. Kevin Young is just a master at what he does, honestly.
Abdullah Ahmed.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Of the Knicks G League team, 6'10" affiliate in Westchester Knicks.
I guess the NBA, or I know a lot of people are upset that these guys have eligibility, but I don't know. Other teams have been doing it, so why not us? We'll take it.
Well, I mean, if that the rule is they can play, we got to exploit that, you know?
Yep.
Especially with Kevin Young.
Apparently, he's been committed for a couple of weeks. They've just been waiting for the NCAA to say. Apparently, they ruled that he had 2 years of eligibility left, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And if other coaches are upset, complain to the NCAA, not to us.
Why don't you go get the guy? You can have him too.
Yeah,
it's
go
not
recruit.
Just us. Yeah, go get maybe Oscar Shewe still has some eligibility left. I don't know. Maybe, just kidding. He probably doesn't. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. Make sure to catch us next week as we break down another week of games, see where we're at. Give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening. Check out our past episodes. Talked every game of the Jazz season so far. And we hope you have a great rest of your day. Take care.
Peace.